Today's reading begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share in the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still, like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I did not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you, then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or with love and a spirit of gentleness. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So where we start out, Paul was talking about being judged by human courts and by others and even by himself. And he makes the statement, even because he is not aware of anything against himself, he's not acquitted. It is the Lord who does the judging. And so whether we might have others that approve of us or whether we might have others that disapprove of us, it is the Lord that judges. And it is his word that is the standard by which we must live. And so each one will receive his commendation from God. And he says, I applied all these things to myself and to Apollos, speaking of him, and it was for their benefit, that you may learn to not go beyond what is written and not to be puffed up against one another. And they shouldn't be puffed up. They shouldn't be thinking that they are something great or incredible, since what they have received that made them rich, speaking of spiritual things, was not something they acquired on their own, but it was given to them. And so what is their reaction? When they are reviled, they bless. When they are persecuted, they endure. When they are slandered, they entreat. And we have become like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things, verse 13. Chapter 5, he speaks of one among them that has his father's wife. This sexual immorality that he says would not even be tolerated among the pagans. Yet somehow, love is being abused in order to tolerate it in the Corinthian church. He says, you can't continue this way. You've got to excise this sin from among them because it will spread. It is like leaven that spreads to a whole lump. And he says he's not even saying not to associate with the sexually immoral, the greedy, the swindlers, the idolaters outside the body of Christ, because then they would have to go out of the world. He's talking about those within the body of Christ that are supposed to be brethren. And I would add to this, they cannot give approval over someone by continuing to accept them when they are an unrepentant sinner. Finally, in chapter 6, he says it's such a terrible thing that they can't make judgments among themselves, that they have brethren that are taking each other to court. Is there no one there that has wisdom? Is there no one there that can be trusted? Is there no one there that could be impartial in order to settle these matters? Do you really have to take it before the unrighteous instead of letting the righteous settle, especially what he says are trivial matters? You must not defraud one another. You must not take advantage of one another. That concludes our reading for today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.